If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard, Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. I got to tell you, something that I have never been is I've never really been injury prone. But I think I might be changing my story on that. First of all, I got to tell you, in the middle of October, I turned 40, which was great. The week that I was gone, I had all the fill-in hosts coming in. I was at Disneyland with my daughter. It was her 10th birthday. You remember the story. Whenever one of my girls turns 10, they get a whole week, just them and daddy at Disneyland, just the two of us. So, my second youngest daughter turned 10. She was celebrating her 10th birthday. I was celebrating my 40th birthday. So it was great. Ever since then, 40 years old really sucks. I've got to get that off my chest. And I don't know if that was the catalyst, something sucks. I injured my shoulder a few weeks back. It's actually still on the mend. It's not perfect. On the same side on my right hand, Friday night, I got attacked by a new cat that I adopted, and my hand is essentially useless over there. It's still one of the most painful things I've had to endure. I don't know what it is, but I was bitten somewhere around my index finger, actually on the back of the hand, and the cat got deep in there. So, you know, I'm on antibiotics, and I'm doing all kinds of stuff to try and rehabilitate this thing. But the pain in the joints of my index on finger on my right side, a.k.a. trigger finger, is unmerciful. If you've ever, like, whacked the back of your index finger against a solid object and felt the sheer pain of that, okay, this is going on day 6 of that feeling. I guess about day 5 of that feeling. It just doesn't go away. And whenever I move my hand around, it hurts. Now, what I've been doing at night, the last two nights, I'm sitting there in the living room. I've got all my computer work done. I throw on the TV, and I'll start doing physical therapy on my finger. And, you know, I'll stretch it. I'll curl it in, because right now the finger really doesn't want to move it. I'll curl it in towards a fist. I'll extend it. I'll, you know, spread my fingers out. And I got to tell you, it takes from making a fist to spreading my fingers all the way out probably about 20 seconds worth of dealing with the pain to get it all the way there. Not even close to a full range of motion. And it is really painful. Now, I get more and more motion out of it each night, the last couple of nights. But the problem is, when I'm done, within about 20 or 30 minutes, it starts throbbing and aching like nobody's business. And now it's bedtime. So last night, I was awake for 2.5 hours after I actually climbed in bed until I could actually fall asleep. And the only reason I was able to fall asleep was after 2 hours, I'd had enough. So I went and I took some ibuprofen just to try to numb the pain enough and reduce the swelling enough that I could fall asleep, and I did. This morning I wake up and it's just plain numb and it hurts again. But I've got a little bit more range of motion. I just haven't pushed it that much. Then this morning, and I had planned on this, I knew that my truck, I have a Dodge Durango, it's been running a little bit hot. Well, it's cold out. The only reason for that is that I'm lacking a little bit of coolant or antifreeze, however you want to call it this particular season. I'm missing some. There's not enough volume in the system. So I set some out to fill up this morning, and I'm doing that. And I have a driveway. And in the modern construction of, you know, subdivided homes and such in a driveway, they have one style of curb. They don't do a curb and then cut in a driveway and then do a square curb and then cut in a driveway. Everything is kind of a bump. It's almost like the leading edge of a speed bump. At the top of that speed bump, your driveway begins. And it's basically like a curbing, like an edging. And they just pour that continuously. Wherever the driveway lands doesn't matter because it's all exactly the same as the rest of the curbing. So as I put in about, 3/4 of a gallon of coolant. Well, now I'm going to go and fill up the water, the jug with water, and put about 3/4 of a gallon of that in there. And as I step back to do that on my right side where my shoulder, neck, and hand are crippled, I sprain my ankle. So, needless to say, ever since 40 came around, things kind of suck. There's some positive things going on, but physically speaking, actual pain involved, man, I'm not sure if I should hope for a decade down the road when I turn 50 and hope things are better, or dread it because I probably won't make it to 50 in a month. I just got to tell you that all of this series of garbage really sucks. And it's all on my right side, and I don't get it because I've been favoring a little bit my left side because my right side has been so damn injured. Anyhow, I'm going to dry my tears now and stop my whining and belly aching. So, the NRA case against Seattle is moving forward. Now, you'll remember that there's a mayor by the name of Greg Nichols, an outgoing mayor. As a matter of fact, he's in his last month in office. Greg Nichols was a sorry enough mayor that when he was running for re-election, he lost in the primary. Okay, the way it works in Seattle, it is a nonpartisan office. The top two vote-getters in the primary go to the general election. Well, the incumbent finished third, so he was out. Well, Greg Nichols is a big anti-gunner. Doesn't like guns, doesn't like people who carry guns. So, Washington has a preemption law that says the state law on guns stands. You cannot, no county or city or township can make any more restrictive law on guns than what the state sets. And a lot of states have these preemption laws. Well, Greg Nichols wanted to ban guns in parks and at some other city facilities. He was told by the Attorney General of the state that that would not fly. Even the city council wouldn't back him. So he did an executive order saying that you couldn't do this, knowing again that it's not really going to go anywhere. Now what he's doing is going to cost the taxpayers lots of money because the NRA and Second Amendment Foundation are fighting him. So here's this story. If everything goes according to current schedule, attorneys for the Second Amendment Foundation and the National Rifle Association will be in court February 9th, 2010 for what they hope will be a smackdown of Seattle's gun ban in city parks and recreation facilities. The case will go before the King County Superior Court Judge Greg Canova, currently in the discovery phase, according to the Seattle attorney Steve Fogg, who represents Second Amendment Foundation and NRA. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and Washington Arms Collectors and five local residents. The lawsuit is on schedule and this attorney believes that the case is very solid. Two key plaintiffs had encounters that clearly erase any doubt about the standing. And one of those incidents belongs to in the you're not going to believe this sort of realm. Last month, a Seattle resident, Ray Carter, visited the Alki Community Center parking lot packing a pistol, and he was promptly asked to leave the center once he got in. Carter requested an explanation why he was being booted, and he got one in writing. The note signed by Jamika S. Muldrow is one of these Exhibit A type of documents that leave gun rights advocates rolling their eyes. Here is an excerpt. This letter is informing you that you are instructed and must depart City of Seattle Alki Community Center campus due to the fact you are lawfully carrying a firearm that is licensed to you. You are in violation of the City Parks policy that will not be permitted on city parks and recreation grounds that you're carrying a gun. Regardless of any provisions in the RCW to the county while carrying a firearm, due to the City of Seattle's strict rules and policies, we have to inform you that you are restricted from City of Seattle parks and recreation grounds. Now, Carter said he stood politely while Ms. Muldrow wrote the note. There were no television cameras hovering around. Carter was not trying to make a media event, and the note is now in the hands of this legal team. One is compelled to wonder what kind of note would be handed to a thug who is unlawfully carrying a firearm that is not licensed to anyone. since it'd probably be stolen property. Here's a little hint. Firearms are not licensed in Washington State. They never have been. Criminals don't bother with concealed pistol licenses anyways. Carter's fellow plaintiff, Gary Godick, a Pike Place businessman, was advised by a Seattle police officer not to enter the Steinbrook Park because he was legally carrying a pistol. The officer told him that firearms are not allowed in the park. A separate challenge to the Seattle Parks gun ban has been filed in federal court. Plaintiff Bob Warden of Kent, Washington, a licensed attorney, is serving as his own counsel in the case, which has no connection to the Second Amendment and NRA case. The SAF and NRA filed their cases in Superior Court about 2 weeks prior to the federal challenge. Superior Court is probably where the case belongs since it involves a regulation that appears to clearly be in violation of a state statute. In Article 1, Section 24 of the state constitution, which provides that, quote, "The right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself and state shall not be impaired." Washington adopted the original state preemption law in 1983, strengthening it in 1985. It has served as a model for similar laws in several other states. So there you go. Stay tuned, guys. More to come.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right. So a couple of weeks back, a story had come out. I didn't cover it here, but the follow-up is pretty good. It's based in Connecticut, where the Connecticut Children's Medical Center, Hartford Hospital, and St. Francis Hospital and Medical Center were joining with the city of Hartford and the Hartford Police Department for a gun buyback event. Now, they also said that Kohl's Department Store was also involved, and Kohl's is pretty ticked. They're just plain pissed off about this. Okay, based on some of these claims, Kohl's was asked, do you guys go along with this? Really? Because the most wonderful time of the year is upon us, and I'd like to know why I should do my Christmas shopping with an outfit that helps disparage gun ownership, especially since there are plenty of struggling competitors out there who don't make it a point to offend a large and growing segment of their customer base. I intend to share your response, or lack thereof, with gun owners who read the daily Gun Rights Examiner column, and of course people like me that are reading this over the air, as well as the grassroots gun rights groups, bloggers, and activists. We'd like to know why Kohl's thinks joining with anti-gun advocates is a smart business move, especially at this time of year. Well, this response came in. Thank you for taking the opportunity to contact us about the gun buyback in Hartford, Connecticut. Upon receipt of your email, I followed up with our community relations department and confirmed the following. 1. The hospital did not have permission to use our name in their promotion. 2. The hospital bought Kohl's gift cards on their own. 3. This is not a Kohl's program or sponsorship. We are addressing your concerns with the appropriate executives and following up appropriately. So, I wonder what sort of effect this will have on those medical groups, the city of Hartford, and the Hartford Police Department, if they're saying that Kohl's Department Store is not involved, when they said that if they were not involved officially, when these groups are saying that they were. Now, I wonder if the local Kohl's in Hartford, Connecticut, maybe they had an assistant manager or something that showed them some form of support. Now, that's not out of line. I shouldn't say out of line. That's not out of the realm of possibilities. Oftentimes, somebody on a local area that may have their own personal agenda will use whatever smidgen of authority they have to roll something into, I guess, their agenda. So that may be what happened. If that's the case, it sounds as though Coles might be ticked enough. Somebody might be losing their job over this. And since they're happy to, take away my gun rights and yours, I hope they do. Especially in this economy, maybe they could give that person's job to someone who is pro-gun. I don't really understand why certain businesses, and even in this case a lot of what would be referred to as celebrities, I guess, I don't understand why they get involved in some sort of a political issue. Now, guns should not be a political issue. It's guaranteed in the Second Amendment. I mean, we have a spelled out right to keep and bear arms. All right? Now, I would imagine taking a copy of the Constitution to these people in Seattle, the one cop and then the lady who was at whatever other facility that said, hey, you guys can't carry guns here. Show them a copy of the Second Amendment and ask them to really read it. Okay. Yeah. Right now, see, that's a right, and you are telling me it's being infringed, which means you are helping, under the guise of the government, to infringe upon my civil rights. Therefore, I need to have all of your information, because you and everybody above you gets to be named in a civil suit, which does carry, by the way, criminal penalties. Okay? You're supposed to be carrying out a legal order. Anyhow, when you have different, like, businesses that are just anti-gun. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I was happy about was when that fat piece of junk. Well, who was that garbage blabbermouth? Rosie O'Donnell. When that fat tub got up and started blabbing anti-gun stuff, she lost her job as a spokesmouth for Kmart. Because Kmart sells guns. And they were not going to have an anti-gunner representing them. Well, that's just good business practices. Somebody's talking about products that you sell, and they're speaking against them, yet they happen to be a spokesmouth for you, that's a bad deal. So it's really dumb for retailers to get involved in what is a political issue. It's really dumb for celebrities to get involved in politics, because they're going to alienate half their fan base. A lot of the bands and singers and actors and actresses that do this, you never see them working nearly as hard as they did before they opened their fat mouths. So they should shut them. Anyhow, more to come after the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Loved by dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, I want to remind you, a week ago yesterday, I guess, I was in Vegas. And I was getting ready to drive home. My girlfriend and I were in town most of the day doing all kinds of stuff. We had just gone to see a movie. We were then on our way to kind of a late evening dinner. On the way to dinner, I observed a cop driving like a complete arse on his way to dinner. Or I guess it would be considered lunch. So, I wrote the following letter and emailed it to the sheriff's office. Dear Sheriff, No one needs to remind you that two of the last three officers killed in the line of duty were due to traffic accidents that were the fault of those officers. Evidently, that has not had full effect on all of your patrol officers. At 8:25 p.m. on December 9th, I observed Patrol Unit 10085 traveling southbound on Rainbow from Tropicana. The officer passed me at roughly 60 miles an hour in a 45, cut from the right travel lane across the center lane, effectively cutting me off, and into the left lane without signaling, and was approaching the red light at Hacienda. The officer stopped at the light, and when it turned green, he sped through the intersection, crossing back across all lanes into the right travel lane at an increasing rate of speed without signaling. Once he passed Russell Road, the right lane changes into a right turn only lane. The officer disregarded that, continued traveling straight through the right turn only lane, and later turned into the parking lot headed to another waiting officer at the Taco Bell at 5645 South Rainbow. Evidently, the hunger of this officer was so great, he decided to all but roll code 3 to get to lunch and violate several traffic laws in the process, even though two of his comrades have died in the line of duty doing the same sort of thing just this year. Needless to say, I am disappointed and just plain mad that some officers subscribe to the do what I say, not what I do form of law enforcement rather than the lead by example form of law enforcement. Any citizen who would operate their vehicle in this same manner would have been stopped and cited by any officer of LVMPD. Police are not immune from the law, nor above it. With that said, I would like to have the opportunity to sign the traffic citations for the citizen's arrest of this officer based on his multiple moving violations. Perhaps this form of justice is precisely what's needed to rein in unsafe officers and the actions they perpetrate, which are both illegal and violations of your department policy. There is no excuse for those sworn and charged with public safety and enforcing the criminal codes of our community to blatantly disregard those laws, especially when not in the act of performing official duties. The lives of these officers and for the members of our community are too great for such behavior. I await your response. William Carnes, Pahrump, Nevada. Well, I got a response yesterday. And the response came from IAB@LVMPD.com, meaning Internal Affairs Bureau. And it said, Mr. Carnes, please include your address and phone number to a response email so we can include that into the report. By the way, here's the number that you can call if you'd rather call us with that information. And then you can reference it with this open reference number for the internal affairs complaint. And it was unsigned, whatever. So I responded back. All of my official mail and everything goes to a P.O. box. I don't need people knowing my physical address. So I responded with my P.O. box and my phone number. We'll see where it goes. And I am fully behind pushing this issue. And provided this goes well, I'm going to want this to be a benchmark for others around the country to do the very same thing. I am not a fan of cops who, because they happen to be a cop, violate the law. I'm not a fan of that at all. Never have been, never will be. Okay? I can't stand the idea of when cops decide to just abuse their power and authority and do stuff that would otherwise get anybody else in trouble. The same sort of things that they bust people for. So, yeah, I'm willing to stick my neck out on the line and do that. And I'm going to kind of up the ante a little bit, because anytime somebody is run through the background check on the computer, be it in Nevada, there's NCGIS, which is the Nevada Criminal Information Justice Computer, Nevada Criminal Justice Information System, I think, NCGIS. And then there's also NCIS. Whenever that is run by a police terminal, they have a record of it being run and who ran it, because you have to be logged on with your personnel number. So as this goes on, I'm going to ask and, in fact, demand that any time I am run, my name, my license plate, anything that I am run, that I am informed who ran it and when and what their purpose was. Because if I am being run to be looked up by the cops to think, well, I'm going to try and find this guy. I'm going to try and get a little get back on this guy. Because they don't want to be busted for doing something illegal. I'm going to ask that be handled. All right. Here's a little story out of Toledo, Ohio, entitled, Once Again, Never Call the Police for Help. Now, let me read this to you. It's about four paragraphs here. Linda Hicks, a 62-year-old Toledo resident, was murdered by Officer Diane Chandler of the Toledo Police Department. Murder is the only suitable description for the entirely needless shooting death of Hicks, a group of home residents who suffered from schizophrenia, depression, at a group home, and a resident who suffered from schizophrenia, depression, and hypertension. Someone at the domicile made the fatal mistake of calling the police to report that Hicks had a weapon, a pair of sewing scissors. If you've ever seen them, they're very small, and they're much like a kindergartner might actually have for cutting paper. When Chandler and Officer Rebecca Kennedy arrived, Hicks was prone on her bed. When she refused to move her arm from beneath a pillow, Chandler attempted to introduce pain compliance by shooting the woman with a taser. But the cartridge malfunctioned, so Chandler then pressed the electroshock torture device directly against Hicks' skin to operate in the drive-stun mode. Not surprisingly, this assault enraged Hicks, who reportedly got off the bed and said, I'm going to kill you, or you're going to have to kill me. Chandler then fired her gun at least four times, killing Hicks. There are two elements to this story that deserve special attention. The first was the explanatory comment by Chief of Police Michael Navarra that Chandler, like the rest of his force, is under a lot of stress because of recent layoffs. Well, that should play absolutely no part in this at all. He says, it's a difficult job out there, Navarra told the Toledo Free Press. Officers are being stretched to the limit. The layoffs supposedly have made criminals more brazen, he insists. The assessment implicitly suggests that the stressed-out police are going to be more brazen in the use of lethal force. More noteworthy still is that the fact that Diane Chandler is certified with crisis intervention training, which should provide her with some means other than lethal force to handle a mentally ill senior citizen armed with sewing scissors. Chandler thought her life was in danger, insisted Chief Navarre, by the way of justifying the shooting. Now, is that true? Really? Well, since Chandler could get close enough to Hicks to operate the taser in drive stun mode, couldn't she have had her partner help immobilize the woman long enough to take the scissors away? Weren't the objects in the room, furniture, blankets, pillows, that could have been suitable to offer as a shield against a pair of sewing scissors? Aren't you police given unarmed combative training and supposedly paid to take a few risks? What about a PR-24? None of that matters, apparently. Linda Hicks is dead. Diane Chandler killed her. And within a few weeks, we'll all but certainly be told that Chandler's actions were in accordance with her department policy. Once again, unless you're willing to see someone be severely injured or killed for no defensible reason, never call the police for help. Okay? Now, police always operate under everyone out there is a bad guy until they prove me different. And if you don't have the time or opportunity to prove them different by the time they make up their mind, which is often rather quick, you're in a screw city. You're really in a bad deal. Okay? So just understand that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about dirty politics. Dirty, filthy, disgusting politics. And how they come out of the Brady Center, the Brady campaign. The Brady campaign to completely screw you, me, and every other red-blooded, freedom-loving American out of their firearms. I believe that's their official name. Senator Harry Reid, dirtbag of Nevada, Senate Majority Leader, and scuzzball, is going to be, is most likely going to lose his seat in Nevada when he's up for re-election this coming November in 11 months. He's probably going to lose that seat. There are two Republicans running against him who have announced they're going to run against him. One is the name of Danny Tarkanian. Now, Danny Tarkanian has a mother named Lois Tarkanian, who has served as a board of regents on the university system many times. He also has a father named Jerry Tarkanian, who led the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels men's basketball team to the NCAA men's basketball championship. And the following year, 91, they had an undefeated season up until they lost in the Final Four. They beat Duke in 90, and they lost to Duke in 91 in the Final Four. That was the only loss they suffered that season. Danny Tarkanian happened to be one of the players at the time. He's in politics. Danny Tarkanian is a Republican. He is a life member of the NRA. He is pro-gun. He supports gun rights. And the Brady campaign doesn't do very well in Nevada. You mentioned the Brady campaign within the state of Nevada, and for the most part, that is a big shun. That's like a racial or religious or handicap sort of slur. Okay? That's like, you know, calling somebody who's a minority by the most egregious majority slur. Or somebody with a handicap, the most egregious slur that you could come up with for their handicap. That's just hearing the sound of the Brady campaign in Nevada. It's not very big here. And basically, in this state, them's fighting words. Well, the Brady campaign, to try to discredit Danny Tarkanian, has endorsed him. The Brady campaign, to absolutely steal all of the guns from across America and turn them into molten metal and make you, me, and every other law-abiding citizen a victim to any would-be attacker. I think that's their official legal name. Endorsed Danny Tarkanian, a Republican, a lifelong Republican, who's also a life member of the NRA. I'm not even a life member of the NRA. I do like the 3-year program or 2-year, whatever it is. I haven't even shelled out the $750. This guy has. The Brady campaign president, Paul Helmke, also confirmed that Mr. Brutish, then an unpaid advisor to Mr. Tarkanian, had worked for them, even asking Mrs. Brady's mispronunciation of Nevada. She called it Nevada. You always know when somebody's not from this state. Anybody who lives here calls this state Nevada. Anybody who's from out of state, call it Nevada. Anyhow, Mrs. Brady, her mispronunciation of Nevada, be edited out of the call. Let's see. Mr. Helmke said, we aren't doing this on our own. We were asked to do it by somebody who was within the campaign, and they went so far as to edit the robocall. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the hell all that means. So why I just read it to you to confuse my entire listening audience? My mistake. My bad. I'm sorry. Okay. With that being said, Nevada is a very pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment state, and I think voters have the right to pin Danny Tarkanian down to his past campaign coordination with the Brady campaign and what it means today. Okay. Now, that comes out of the Sue Loudon campaign manager, Robert Utov. Now, Sue Loudon is the other Republican running. So what's happened here is the Brady campaign has played dirty pool with Danny Tarkanian. Sue Loudon's campaign is capitalizing on this, which I don't like. Sue Loudon and her husband own a couple of hotel casino properties in town. Probably the most notable is the Sahara. Sue Loudon used to be a news reporter for one of the local news stations. I think the local CBS affiliate. Very handsome woman. very handsome woman. And, I mean, she was married to a guy who was a multi-millionaire when she was a broadcast journalist. You know, pretty talented, did a good job, big in the community, and doesn't seem to let the celebrity go to her head. She is running for Harry Reid's seat, as well as Danny Tarkanian. And because Tarkanian is being targeted and discredited with this Brady campaign affair, instead of coming to his defense, the Loudoun campaign has decided to try to use that to their advantage. Now, it continues with Team Tarkanian, for their part, intends to keep stressing their support for guns, which may include a moose hunt down the road. Which is funny. There's no moose. There's no meese. What is the plural of moose? Is it moose? Is it meese? Is it moosin? Is it mooses? Meeses? Anyhow. So I'm sure you're only going to be able to hunt one of the animals. There are none in the state of Nevada. The closest you could get is, I believe, Colorado. Anyhow, that just gives you an idea of some dirty politics. Guys, stay tuned. More to come after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back. So my question to you is, if you happen to be a gun owner or a shooter, what are you asking for Christmas? I mean, what would be on the Christmas wish list of the average shooter or gun owner? Considering tough times nowadays. Well, maybe it'd be a good Kydex holster for your firing side, or a good magazine pouch to go with it, or perhaps a good, an instructor style belt, something like that. Or maybe some electronic hearing protection, something along that line. All necessary components, not absolutely necessary, but all valued components for the 2A radio 3-day handgun course coming up March 19th, 20th, and 21st. So, with that being said, I have been in contact with John from combattactical.com, and we are chatting about putting together some sort of package deal or discount code or something to be able to put up on my site, on 2aradio.com, some of the different things that are going to be needed and necessary and suggested otherwise for the people who are going to come out and take this 3-day handgun course. And you'll be able to get them one-stop shop at combattactical.com. And we're looking at offering some sort of package/discount deal for all of that. So feel free to peruse around Combat Tactical. Hopefully within the next week or so, we'll have something up to where you could actually go on there and get all of the different things that will be listed on there. Things that are going to be required and things that are going to be suggested. And from there, whatever you don't have, you go on Combat Tactical and clean up. They have, 30, 40, 50,000 something different items on there. It is probably the most complete site I know of. And John is a hell of a guy. As a matter of fact, I met John when training for the Handgun Combat Master certification. John's in the hunt for that. So John is a shooter. He is a very good guy, very successful businessman, hell of a nice guy. I've been over to his house 2 or 3 times, just an all-around good dude. So hopefully all that will take shape and take form. And we are ever closer to securing a range. There are 2 ranges that it's really down to right now, and really there's a lot of little idiosyncrasies going on and things dealing with each location, pluses and minuses on each that we're looking at. So anyhow, stay tuned for that. As we get closer, as soon as I know for sure, you will know for sure. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Global Research Hour coming up next, followed by the Ernest Hancock Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.